Welcome to the Cyclizing Podcast. I'm Jared.
I'm Jessica.
And we are now on iTunes, so please go there and give us a 5-star review if you like what you hear, and subscribe to hear all of our latest episodes.
And I'd say if you don't like what you hear, just don't rate it.
It's a good idea.
I don't want a one.
So anyways, Jessica and I were talking about what we've learned on our bike rides, and we thought it would be a good idea to have a little bit of a chat about something that we learned from each ride. Right. So, Jessica, what have you learned in a recent ride?
You're supposed to go first.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah. So, well, what we were talking about. So, yeah, so you're talking about weather. So you tell me what you're saying about learning about the weather.
All right. So if you guys don't know, we are located in Colorado and are riding in basically the foothills and mountains of Colorado. And the summertime pretty much means there's going to be rain or it's going to be really dry, sunny and hot. One of the two.
Or it's going to be that like 5 minutes and the next raining.
Yes. The weather changes here quite a bit. So one of the things I think that's important when preparing for the weather is always plan ahead. You can look at the forecast, and it might not necessarily be the most accurate way to gauge things. So basically what I'm saying is what I've learned is look outside, see what the clouds are doing. But the big thing is when you're on a ride, you're probably going, you know, a fair amount of distance going through from one city to another. So it's actually kind of hard to gauge what the weather is going to be. So being prepared is really important. So if it looks like it could be rain, assume that it's going to rain. Pack a rain jacket, and having a cycling raincoat is really, really nice. One, it's going to keep you dry. And two, it's going to keep you warm, especially Colorado. When it rains, it can be freezing. Jessica and I got caught in a rainstorm coming down Loveland Pass, and it was pouring, and I thought we were going to get hypothermia. It was really cold.
Yeah, that was ridiculous, and the wind was really bad too, and I thought I was going to get just blown the fuck off my bike.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too. Remember that when you're riding, you know, you have a bit of a wind chill factor, so figure it's going to be about 10 degrees cooler than the actual temperature as you move.
Is that based on science?
I heard it somewhere, so.
Did you, though?
I did. So it's got to be true, right?
Right, of course.
It's on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
The other thing with weather is if you are out in the rain, there's a couple things. One, you have more bigger chance of getting a flat tire, as someone here can allude to.
I get fucking flats no matter what the weather is. It could be perfect conditions, bluebird fucking day, it could rain. I get a flat tire on every friggin' ride, but hopefully with the new tires that you gave me, I don't have that issue.
Let's see, they're gator skin, so they better do their magic. Although I got a flat today on my ride, and I have the black belt from Specialized tires, and there, you should have seen the chunk of glass. It was about the size of the one we pulled out of your tires that was in there. And I know exactly where I hit it because I saw it the last minute and like tried to get out of the way. And it was like a mile later. I was like, oh, there's a flat.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, but it's all good. Except I got it all fixed okay. And then I went to take off and I forgot to like actually latch my back tire in, which was no fun. It didn't really move, so anyways, remember to do that too. But anyways, back to what I learned about the weather. So if you're out riding in the rain and your bike's going to get dirty and muddy as well as yourself, my biggest tip is take it to the car wash or home with the hose and spray it down, dry it off, and get that mud off of it while it's still wet if you have the opportunity to do that. Because when it dries on there, it's a pain. It's a bitch to get off. I washed our bikes a couple weeks back after a wet ride, and I literally, only with a pressure washer, but like I was scrubbing them with brushes and things just off of the frame to get stuff off, you know, not to mention what gets stuck in between all the moving parts. So that's my tip, is be prepared for any weather condition that may come your way. So Jessica, what's something you've learned on a recent ride?
Well, we're going up Loveland. I noticed that perception is key. And what I mean by that is when we were going through that trail through the woods, it didn't look like it was going uphill. Like, it looked pretty flat. Like, you know, there's like, you know, ups and downs or whatever. But essentially, like, we were just going up the whole way. And I thought it was tougher going through that little trail in the woods than the actual Loveland Pass. And I still can't figure it out, but, like, you know, I perceived it to be like a flat terrain. So I think what I was learning is that perception's key, and that, I don't know, you could perceive and, I don't know, perceive things differently, I guess. I mean, like, when we went through Golden Gate Canyon, that shit was steep, and I perceived it so. But it's like, I don't know, I guess, by perceiving also, you would have to have, I don't know, endurance too. Because, I mean, I don't know, like, when we're going through the trails and stuff, or, like, through the woods, like, I mean, did you get that? Like, did you notice that it was just, like, well, obviously it's going uphill, but, I mean, like, when we're on it, did it actually look like it was uphill most, like, the entire way? Like, it felt like it was, like, flat, and then, like, you know, we'd had, like, the ups and downs or whatever, but, like, my legs were dying. They were dying.
Yeah, well, there's some good, like, rollers in there, too, which I think, you know, helps with, it looks, you know, they're like, there's a little hill, then it looks like it might be going down, but, you know, if you actually look at the elevation profile, you're still climbing that entire way.
Yeah.
So I do think it plays tricks on you. It's funny, though, because when the last time you and I went was my third time on that trail. And then this past week, I did the triple bypass, which would have been my fourth time on the trail. And not that I ever thought that that section was easy, but until you had mentioned to me that it was what you thought was the most difficult part of the Loveland Pass ride, it was really, really hard for me that time. I was, like, really tired, and I was like, so I don't know if I was just perceiving it because of that. But it is pretty steep through there, and it's narrow and windy, and you have, you know, a bunch of these little rollers that make it kind of crazy.
Yeah. I enjoyed it, though, because you don't have to worry about cars hitting you.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. There's another path. If you actually go up Loveland Pass and then down through Keystone and get into Breckenridge.
If you make it that far.
But it's all downhill then. It's easy. But there's another path that goes basically from Frisco, or it's Breckenridge, between Breckenridge and Frisco, through there all the way to Copper Mountain. And it's not as much of a climb. It's a little bit easier. And then coming the other way is, you know, pretty much downhill. Well, that's a fun ride we'll have to try sometime.
Mm-hmm.
There. But so when you were looking at, like, Loveland Pass, like, when we got to the base, so we come out of the trail that you're talking about, and we're at the base of Loveland, where Loveland ski area is, and you're looking up at the Continental Divide. What was, like, your perception of that? I mean, how did you think that ride was going to be?
Well, I could tell you that I thought, oh, fuck this. Because you told me it was 2 miles, and I saw the friggin' sign, and that said 4. And so I perceived that you lied. I don't know. It looked like it was going to be tough as hell, but it wasn't that bad. Like, we didn't have to brake or anything. Like, we went all the way to the top, and my legs were fine. So I don't know if I was catching, like, a second or third wind after all the other climbing we had done. But, like, I still think that the Woodland area was way tougher than the actual Loveland Pass. The only thing that was sketch was being right next to a cliff without any guardrails or anything. Because I was like, all right, if the wind takes me, I'm going to fucking fall to my death. Or if a car gets too close. Or if I hit a ledge or a rock or something weird. Or I just, I don't know, get clumsy and just tumble down, and I'm just going to keep rolling until I, like, break my neck or whatever. So that's what I was thinking. And then, like, since there's not really even a shoulder, too, I was just like, so we're just riding alongside the cars, and we're kind of at mercy of them, and if they want to be polite or not, or if they want to be, aggressive drivers and fucking run us off the road. So that's what I was worried about. And then, like, when we were coming down, you know me, like, I like to get speed, but when we're going around this one turn, the wind freaking picked up, and I thought I seriously was going to get swept off my bike. I was shitting bricks.
Yeah, it got a little intense up there for a little while.
Yeah. You know what else is intense?
What?
Camping.
Is this a reference I should know about?
No, you've never heard that joke before?
No.
Are you kidding? What the fuck? Yeah, no, because intense, you get it?
Oh, yeah, I get it.
Okay,
That was lame.
that joke was lost on you.
It was, but that's all right.
Okay, well, anyway.
Cool. So, how did like coming through when you came down back through that trail after Loveland Pass, and we were kind of going downhill? Could you tell like how steep it was through there?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, my fingers started hurting from braking so much, but yeah, definitely. I mean, like, you catch a lot of speed going down, so we're doing some damn climbing, is what we're doing.
So the question is the climbing worth it for the descent?
I guess. I don't know. But I mean, like, when we went through why can't I ever remember this? Golden Gate Canyon, like, coming down still sucked because of the rain. So I couldn't even enjoy going fast because, one, I got a friggin' flat tire, so the shit was all, sketchballer, and I was afraid that that crappy tire that I, or the tube that I used, just like, what for temporary measure, wasn't gonna last long. And then it didn't, because then we're going around the turn and I thought I was gonna fall from my bike too. But I mean, like, coming back down through Golden Gate Canyon again, didn't have a shoulder, had to duck and dive and dodge all the crap on the road, and then you're riding along cars, so it's like wet road, crappy conditions, cars, all this shit, and I'm trying to brake and keep my brakes, dry enough or whatever so they'll still work. So by the time that we're, like, out of that, my hands were fucking sore.
Yeah, I know the feeling. It's and sometimes just even, not even having to brake hard, you're just squeezing the levers enough that yeah, you kind of cramp up. It's no fun.
Right. What did you think of it then? Or, like, is the descent worth the ascent?
Oh, definitely. I come, get to the top of a pass or a mountain or a climb or whatever. And it's like the feeling you get, like knowing that you're not going to really have to work and you get to have a lot of fun just coming down. It's like, I don't know, it's like a high. The best one, like recently for me, was the end of the triple bypass and climbed up. So I did, Juniper Pass, which was pretty tough. And you start out that ride and it's like you're just in it, you're just going up. And coming down the
How
other
would you
side,
compare that to other things that we've done? Like, how's Juniper Pass? Like, what's it closest to what we've done, so I know?
yeah, so Juniper Pass, like it kind of reminded me a little bit this like of the grade wise how steep it was compared to Golden Gate Canyon. Yeah, I don't know, we have a hard time remembering that one, but that probably similar to that. I mean, it wasn't much like of, I don't think it was hard. I just think that like the ride just started that way. So you like weren't warmed up. You're just like going straight up. And I started at 5:30 in the morning, so it was a bit early. But coming down the other side in the Idaho Springs was, that was awesome, but it was really windy coming down, so you couldn't really just like let yourself fly. Loveland, we both experienced, that. But coming down on the other side into Keystone, whew, is really fun. Just because there's only, what, two hairpins coming down that side of Loveland Pass. And then it's all downhill past Keystone. So you just basically are flying. I think I was like going 38 miles an hour the entire time. So that was a nice thing. Actually, so there's a guy, they closed off Loveland Pass for us on the triple bypass to traffic. And there is a state trooper towards Keystone that had stopped the Jeep, who had two mountain bikes on the back. And, you know, as I come down, I like saw the Jeep there, and he like turned around. Or he was stopped. I guess he hadn't turned around yet. But the state trooper is basically telling him, no, you can't go up. The road's closed because of the bike race. And, you know, as we go forward, there's this guy that kind of comes in front of me and passes me coming down. And he's riding, like, on the yellow line in the middle of the road. And, okay, you know, we're going down pretty fast, 38, 40 miles an hour. But he should still have been to the right a little bit. Well, mm-hmm. along comes the Jeep. And the Jeep...
hit him.
He got right behind him and then goes, and then we've got opposing traffic come and like pushed him over. It was really freaky for a second, because it's like anybody like moved the wrong direction an inch and, you know, something would have happened. And then the Jeep goes by and flips off the cyclist.
Which is ironic. That's a car driver for you.
Yeah, but he had two bikes on the back, obviously looking to go up to Loveland Pass to do some mountain biking. I just thought it was pretty funny. So, yeah, there's some assholes out there. But
yeah. What was the last pass?
So last pass was Vail Pass. And so...
how was that compared to like what we've done?
Vail Pass is a little bit easier. So Vail Pass is all pretty much bike path, which is kind of cool. And it's not quite as steep. I guess it's, you know, roughly the same length as these other ones. But it's a little bit, different in the way that you kind of climb on the bike path. And it's more open. I don't know if you remember like going up Vail Pass in the car, but like the highway separates. And so you have eastbound and westbound traffic almost like a good half mile away from each other. And the bike path like goes right in the middle of that. So it's an interesting pretty ride. Yeah. And you're not stuck in the forest. And it's not too steep. And then coming down the ascent into Vail is awesome. And I just, whatever, you know, after a couple hours of riding, and I guess it was more than that, it was like 6 hours of riding. And, I pedaled as hard as I could. And I mean, it was easy because I was going downhill, but that was a pretty awesome feeling. So,
yeah.
Anyways, so I guess that kind of wraps up the show for this week. What are you looking forward to riding this weekend? Are you looking forward to a climb, a long ride? Do you have anything in particular?
Well, we're still trying to decide that. You're the planner, so you just let me know what we're doing. And, well, I don't think that there's ever been a time that you've told me to do something and then I didn't. You always are just like, hey, we're doing fucking 80 miles today. I'm like, okay.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. I think we either try Juniper Pass, if you're up for it, out of Evergreen, and then down. We'll have to come down the Evergreen side, which would be fine. Or we do Lookout Mountain.
No, I don't want to do Lookout Mountain again. We've already done it.
And then let's do Evergreen, because Evergreen's not a far drive. And then then I say we go for a long ride, too.
All right. Well, I may be drinking Saturday night, so we'll see what happens.
Well, we can start a little bit later on Sunday.
We might have to.
Oh, you have to drink after the ride. That's the first thing I did when I ended the triple bypass, is went and got a beer. I was like, I should probably have a protein bar or something first, but that sounded good.
Did you get buzzed?
No, I had three beers too, and I didn't have a buzz. I was so angry. I was like, how did I ride for like 7+ hours and like not have a buzz, especially up there at altitude? So I don't know if my body was compensating or what. I don't know.
I would have been pissed.
Yeah, the beers are only $3, so it's not so bad, I suppose.
Well, sorry, I was using an Irishism. I'm pissed, like drunk. I would have been drunk after all three. Well, after Elephant Ride, I was buzzed off of one.
I think I was buzzed off of that one too. So
weird.
Yeah. I drove by that course today, driving down to the Springs, remembering coming back on that nice little stretch back in the Castle Rock. That was a good ride there.
Yeah, last time I drove that road, to the Renaissance Festival, I pointed that out to my sister. I was like, oh, look, I rode along this little area.
I saw a sign for the Renaissance Festival, but they like covered up half of it, so I don't know what that was about. But
weird.
I was like, I know what it says, at least. Anyways.
Getting off topic.
Yes. But thank you guys for tuning in, and remember to subscribe to the podcast and check out cyclizing.com for more about our adventures on and off the bike, although mostly on the bike, unless we're changing flats for Jessica. And we'll see you next week.
Yep.